I love what he says in verse 22. Listen to this in verse 22 in 1 Corinthians 12. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Are you hearing that? And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And so I don't know how to illustrate this, but a pastor is not a special role. The man who's cleaning the toilets is just as important. Every role, every part has an important function. I love what he's saying here. There's no nobodies in the kingdom of God. There are no nobodies in the local church. Every part is important. The ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Pastor Mike Hurd.
Verses 4 and 5 on page 1014 in your pew Bibles, page 1014 in your pew Bibles. I want to just continue with the theme. Pastor Joe started the year with the thought of four pillars of our faith. There are four pillars in our Christian walk, and as we walk in them, we flourish, we grow, and we thrive for Christ. And those four pillars are the Bible, prayer, community, and service. So what I want to focus on today is service. And so if you're on at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, say amen.
Amen.
All right. As you come to him, as you come to Christ, a living stone rejected by him, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable God through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, may your word and your spirit just speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, that we would be changed for your glory and your glory alone. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please be seated. Absolutely love this passage. I love what it says about us. We have this new identity. When we come to Christ and we come to him for salvation, Paul or Peter here writes and gives us this beautiful metaphor of what we become in Jesus Christ. He uses this beautiful metaphor of what we become as individuals and what we become collectively as the body of Christ in his local church. I love that picture. You yourselves, like living stones, that's us, are being built up as a spiritual house. As I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about my wife and I and our family when we go up to my brother's. My brother lives in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and as we're going along, I don't know if you ever noticed, but it always kind of just kind of amazed me. You go past these farms or these country homes, and they have these rock walls where people have gone along and stacked up these rocks on these walls to delineate their properties. And I always, me being a construction guy, I always sat and wondered, and as I drove by them, I'm saying, wow. Some of them are centuries old, and I think to myself, how in the world did the homeowner, the landowner, get all these rocks and pile them up? You see them going through woods and rough terrain. You see these beautiful walls all over the countryside. And it's you have to think about what this landowner went through. First, he had to collect the rocks, right? And then he had to take these rocks and get them from wherever he was collecting them and bringing them and stacking them. And you see these walls that go on for hundreds and hundreds of yards, hundreds and hundreds of miles at a time. And it's just a wonder to me right? How the landowner puts that together. And as I was thinking of this message, God's doing the same thing. God does the same thing with his church. He's building just as that landowner builds that wall, one rock at a time, collects them, puts them together, and builds that wall. God is doing the same thing. God is doing the same thing in his local church. I love that metaphor. Think about this. You are a living stone. If you're here and you're in Christ, you are a living stone. And this says that God is building a spiritual house. He's building something beautiful. And it says that we are chosen and precious. God is building something in each one of us. He's building his spiritual house. And God himself, I want you to capture this because this amazes me. That God himself places each living stone where he wants it to be. All right, just capture that in your mind. It's just an incredible thought that God is building something, and it's for such a time as this, God is building something. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to look at how God is building something right here at IBC. God is doing something special right here in our midst at Emmanuel Bible Church. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Keep your finger in 1 Peter. We're going to get back there. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's page 959 in your pew Bible. And Paul does the same thing Peter. He uses this beautiful metaphor or illustration to explain what God is doing, what God is creating in the local church. Everybody there, say amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12 with me. Right, Paul here is writing to the local church in Corinth. Right, and he gives them this illustration of what they have become and what they are. He pictures the local church as a human body. Look at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And so Paul uses this beautiful metaphor, this beautiful illustration to picture that we are one body with many members. All right, and so think about this. This is me, right? Unfortunately, you guys have to deal with that, right? This is me. This is my body. One person, Mike. I'm called Mike, right? And this is my body. And so Paul is using this metaphor. This is the body. You are a part of the body. The human body is one unit. And so he pictures us. I want you to try and get the metaphor that Paul is using here, that God by the Holy Spirit is using for, that we are all part of one body. But he continues on in verse 12, right? He says, for just as the body is one, he says, the body is one and has many members. And so, yeah, this is Mike. This is my body. But I have a hand. I have a foot. I have a knee, right? I have a head and shoulders, knees, and toes, right? Head and shoulders, knees and toes. And so, yeah, this is me. This is Mike. This is my body. And yet I have many parts to this body. And so he's making that same point, right? We are one body here with many members. With many members, right? I love that picture that Paul illustrates. We have Ray. We have Ron. Jenny, I'm introducing you to the parts of the body. Right? We have all these beautiful parts of the body, and so Paul reminds us that the body is one and has many members. All right? And then he makes one more point in this verse, and it's the point that the parts of the human body work together as one. Listen to how he finishes this verse. All the members of the body, though many, are one body. This, I was blown away by the truth of this. Think about how important this is. In Paul's illustration, he points out that for the body to be healthy and effective, each member has to realize it's a part of the whole. For IBC, this is what Paul, through the Spirit of God, is writing to the church in Corinth. For Corinth, or for IBC, to be healthy, each part of the body has to be doing its part. Right? If my hand says, no, I'm not working today, I'm in a heap of trouble. Right? You know what I tried? Sometimes I'm an idiot, but as I'm working on this, I'm trying to think of what would happen if the body didn't work in conjunction with each other. And so I actually tested this in my office at home. All right? And so I'm not going to do it here because it hurt. But I tried to imagine, all right, if my lower part of my body wanted to go this way and my upper part wanted to go this way, right? And I tried to go forward with both and it didn't end up good. And so Paul here is using the human body to illustrate that we all have a function and we have to function together. We have to function together. Each member, please listen to this, because this is really critical. This is where we flourish in Christ, is when we serve. Think about this. Imago Dei. It's Latin for created in God's image. Each of us have been created in God's image. We're to reflect him to the world. So now, as we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit now comes and indwells us and empowers us to do something. And so now, as we reflect him through the gift that he gives us, that's the joy and the blessing that comes with that when we flourish in what he's gifted us with. And that's where I want to challenge you guys and each of us to really pray about and think about how God has gifted you in this body for his glory, for you to flourish and to thrive in Christ. As I was thinking about this message, and I'm thinking about how working in the body, and I have to confess, at times, it would be so much easier if I just went to a church and I could just sit in a pew and I could just go every Sunday and really not have the pressure or the discomfort of getting out of my comfort zone and doing something for Christ. That would be so much easier, wouldn't it? It would be so much easier. I talk to specifically men. I'm going to pick on Ron. Ron often says, man, it would be just so nice to just go and drive and just be independent and just go away. And don't you feel like that sometimes? Wouldn't it be nice just to go off and you think about church politics. You think about church cliques. Right? I spoke to a young man not too long ago. Was coming to church. He came a few times. And he's like, Mike, I don't think I need the local church. I'm okay. I have God. I have his word. I have his spirit. And it broke my heart because he had been burnt in church and he didn't really want to belong to a local church. And I understood exactly what he was talking about. Church can be ugly at times, right? To be honest with you, I don't really like everyone. I love everyone. I like that. I don't like them. I love them. You know, you think about the preaching, the music. Man, there's so many things to complain about. I'm up here, Johnny. So here's what Paul is reminding us in this passage. And Paul reminds us here that each member needs the body and that the body needs each member. I'm going to repeat that because it's so important. The Word of God is telling us this morning that each member needs the body to flourish, to grow, to mature. And the body needs each part to flourish, to grow, to mature. Isn't that a beautiful picture? What an amazing picture, and what a challenge. And so Paul tells us that we are one body with many members. But then he goes on in verse 17, he says, we are many members with different functions. And so this is why it's important to understand that each member needs the body and the body needs each part, because we have all different functions. We don't all do the same thing. Right? In verse 17, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes this: if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Well, Paul here makes the point that each part of the body serves a different purpose. Right? Each part has a different purpose. We have, each of us, a different role. The Holy Spirit has gifted us to perform a different role here at the church. Just like my hand has a responsibility, my foot, my eye, my heart, my liver, everything here has a different responsibility. And we have different gifts, we have different functions. Listen to what Paul writes in to the church in Rome in chapter 12. He says, for as is one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So Paul reminds the church in Rome that we all have a different role to play. And then he says this in verse 16. He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. He tells us, you have a grace, you have a gift given by God. And then he challenges the church in Rome, use it. Use it for the body to be healthy. And then in his letter to the Roman church, he writes a whole different list of gifts. And so I just want to go through a few of them. The gift of prophecy, that's foretelling the truth of God's word. I think of just the last few weeks, Pastor Mike, Pastor John, Pastor Eric, the beauty of them prophesying, foretelling the word of God, getting up here and preaching. The gift of service is another gift. Last week I was standing as you come in the front door, and Barry tells me, Mike, I just love to serve. We have so many people here that just loves to serve. That's your gift. Use it for God's glory. He mentions the gift of teaching. I thought of Aaron Peace on Saturday mornings, his faithfulness and how he's teaching a small group at his house with his wife Sharon, and so many teachers here, so many good teachers here, praise God. Exhortation, the gift of exhortation. I thought of Pastor Eric last week. I don't know about you guys, but last week when he preached on being salt and light, man, I was so challenged to walk out of here and be salt and light, right, to the world. He gives the gift of generosity. So many here have the gift of generosity. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot with that one. I have somebody listed here, but I won't do it to John and Lori. leading well. Joe leads so well here, right, with this vision for 2026. Mercy, right? I think of Stan. I think of Brett and Daniela. I think of their love that's expressed back here through this Mercy House to a community that needs. And they show the love of Christ through serving. And so we have all these beautiful different gifts. And God has gifted each of us here at IBC to fulfill his purpose for his glory, so that we might flourish and the body might flourish. And so I just want to stop here for a second. And so you, as you come in the church, you see on the right-hand side the vision for 2026, right? Connect, grow, and go. So the vision is, there's an assessment, there's a QR code. I ask you, please, just stop by there on the way out. If you haven't done it, click on the QR code. And there's an assessment to see how you're doing spiritually. We want to come alongside you spiritually. So many of you have taken that test. Thank you for that. And so one of the biggest weaknesses, according to that assessment, is people understanding what their spiritual gift is. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but how many people here have a question of what their spiritual gift is? All right, I put you on the spot. All right, so as you go out today at the visitor center, right by the box, the donation box, there's a sheet there. It's an assessment to help you to discern what your spiritual gift is. So I encourage you, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, please stop by visitor center and pick up one of those papers and fill that out. It's not a perfect thing, but please try it and find out what your spiritual gift is. Over 50% of the people who filled out that assessment didn't know what their spiritual gift was. And so it's important for us to understand that God has gifted us when we come to Christ. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, talk to others, talk to your friends, talk to your family. What do you see in me? Talk to the Lord. And here's one more thing. When I first got saved at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Neptune, and one of the teachers there came up to me and said, "Mike, you want to teach junior church?" I said, "No. No, I don't want to do that." And I ended up doing it. And God did something in my life. And so my encouragement to you is to try things. You know, try it and see if there's fruit. See if God has gifted you. And the best way to find out is to try. And the best way to try is to lean in. On that board back there are umpteen ministries within the church. Stop by that board and see where the Lord wants you to lean in to the local body to serve, not for our sake, but for his sake and for your sake. Stop by that board. Again, we are one body with many members with different functions. And he finishes up in 1 Corinthians with this beautiful truth, many members, the same value. Paul goes on to stress, just as each member of the body has the same, it all have the same value, so it is in the church. He says this in verse 21, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" Right? The pastor can't say to the deacon, "Hey, we don't need you." Right? The one who serves behind the scenes, "We don't need you." The one who's serving down at the Mercy House, we need each other for the body to function properly. And each part has the same value. Each part is equally important in the eyes of God. You're using what God created you to do. I love what he says in verse 22. Listen to this in verse 22 in 1 Corinthians 12. "On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." Are you hearing that? "And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor." And so I don't know how to illustrate this, but a pastor is not a special role. The man who's cleaning the toilets is just as important. Every role, every part has this important function. I love what he's saying here. There's no nobodies in the kingdom of God. There are no nobodies in the local church. Every part is important. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And the thing is, do we believe this? Do we act this way? Right now, this is how there's a man right now who can't make it here on Sundays because of his health. And I know he's probably watching. And he's probably got one of the most important functions in the church. He's praying continuously. Praying continuously. And I tell him, that's the most important part of the church. That's how the church is going to thrive. And so we are one body with many members. We're many members with different functions and many members with the same value. But here's the most amazing thing of part of this passage. Please look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Please look at verse 18 with me. Because if we believe this verse, if we really truly believe this verse, it would challenge us and it would excite us. Verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he has chose. I'm going to read that again. But God, as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. Wow, are you hearing this? Do you hear what he just said? God has placed each one of us here, specifically in Emmanuel Bible Church, for a specific role and task. God did it. God, the sovereign God of the universe who created everything, is creating something here. A spiritual house. Unbelievable. Man, if you get a vision, all right, think about this. God placed me here. Why? I don't know. Find out. And lean in. And get excited. We're building something special here for his glory, for his name's sake. But God, as it is, God arranged. That word arranged means to set, to place. God placed each of us in his body. That word chose in the original, in the King James says, as it pleased him to determine. He determined to put you here. Isn't that something? That's unbelievable. Whew. That's so beautiful. In verse 24, it says, God has composed the body. God has put us together. That in the original language, it means to combine. I'm sorry, guys, but God put you together with us. I know that's scary. I know I can be scary at times. But he put us together for a reason, for his glory. I was thinking of my wife's grandmother. As I was thinking, her grandmother, Nanny, would, gosh, what a cook, had these old Jewish recipes, right? And she would take her stuffed cabbage. She would take her stuffed cabbage and she would take the cabbage and hang it up to let it dry out, right? And then she would make all the ingredients and she'd put it all together, right? And then she would taste it and, it needs a little something else. That's what he's doing here. That's what God's doing here. They need that. So he sends them. But what we need to do is find out why we're here. He chose you. He chose you. And he chose me to work together for his glory. And I'm loving every second of it. There is no better purpose on earth. Amen? How's that one line in that song go? I was made for this. I was made for more. Guess what you were made for? His glory. And so go back real quick. I want to finish up. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to make this incredible, important point. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says this, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, precious and chosen, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. All right? We are living stones. And here's what's important about that. We're living stones. Man, sometimes I'm too hard. But for too long, the church in the United States has been trying to build God's spiritual house without the Spirit. Amen. Being stones on life support. Mostly building in our own power. In this context, this as you come is speaking of a daily, habitual abiding in Christ. He empowers us to be living stones. It's time for church to be resuscitated. Amen? As believers, we're invited into this beautiful daily walk. I think of our brother. Sorry, Josh, I lost you for a second. Yesterday morning, just reminding us that, man, we don't do this. He does this in us. As you come to him, this coming is not the initial coming to Christ for salvation. It's the close, intimate relationship with the Lord. In John 15, Jesus invites his followers to abide in him, to remain in him. It's an invitation to a daily, loving relationship with Jesus. Are you drinking deeply of Christ? Guys, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. That's why we're saved. To be in a relationship with the living God. And then he allows us and empowers us to be living stones. Jesus says this, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Who here wants to bear fruit? He gives you the prescription. And then he says this, Jesus says this, for apart from me, you can do nothing. More than anything else here at IBC, our desire is to see believers understand and flourish in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we know out of that, beauty comes. More than anything else, we want to see people flourish in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And through this relationship with Jesus, we become living stones to build this spiritual house for God. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 7. If anyone thirsts, are you thirsty? I am right now, by the way. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. What an invitation. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Wow. How do we get this living water? How do we become this living water that out of us this would flow? And then he says in verse 39, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. And so we become that living spring. We become that living water as we abide in Christ and we walk in him. And we become that living stone. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. What a challenge this morning. Think about this. I'll finish up. The Spirit of God indwells and empowers each believer. Each of you have received a gift. Each of us become living stones with the Spirit of God. We have this special gift. Grace has been given to each one of us. Grace was given to each one of us. So I want you to picture what God is doing according to his word. He's building something here at Emmanuel Bible Church. He's building something at Cross Point. He's building something at Living Springs. He's building something. He's doing it. He's the sovereign God. And he has placed each one of us here for a specific purpose. You're not here by accident. Again, I'm a strange dude. This is what I pictured as I was going through this. The roof opens up, and all of a sudden, God has all of us by the head, and he's placing us in a pew, and he's setting us down. But that's what he's done. That's what he's done. He's placed us here for a purpose. And that's why we say that you belong here. You don't come here. You belong here. The God of the universe placed you here. I don't know if you remember, I'll finish with this. I don't know if you remember, I'm going to age myself, but do you remember Uncle Sam with his finger pointed and saying, I want you? Well, what that was it was encouraging the citizens of the United States to serve, to get involved. To serve and to get involved. For what? For the cause of the greater good. What God desires that we get involved, he's pointing his finger at us in a nice way. That we would get involved, that we would serve. He's saying, I want you. And he's saying it for the cause of the greater good. What's it for? For his kingdom, for his church, and for his glory. Let's pray. Father, you're an amazing God. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this challenge from your word. Oh, Lord, oh, what a gift, this Holy Spirit. And Lord, thank you, Father, that you have torn the veil and that we can have this incredible relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you invite us to abide in you, to remain in you. Oh, Lord, help us to be a people. That's our cry this morning, our prayer. Help us to be a people that would abide in Christ so that in turn we might become those living stones and that, Father, we would allow you through us to build this beautiful spiritual house at IBC. For your name's sake and for your glory alone, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.